Search goes on in San Francisco for the man known as the Zodiac Killer.
In New York, the search continues for the .44 caliber killer.
See if you can explain to me why I would want to be a Scientologist.
Betches Media presents...
Tell me we have a lead.
Stone Cold, no.
It was literally like the Hunger Games.
Not another true crime podcast.
What can I say? Tough titties.
It's all fun and games until someone gets hurt.
Welcome back to Not Another True Crime Podcast. This is part two of the Lacey Peterson episode. I'm your host, Sarah Levine, here with Casey Balsham, who is texting right now, and Danny Murphy, who is keeping us on track with his notes.
Yes, I'm so diligent. I know, no one would think or to assume that I am the note keeper here.
I know.
Danny is the note keeper.
He's got a glass of wine in one hand and the pen in the other hand. He's
absolutely
doing great.
Secretary,
there's actually no wine.
Secretary of our state.
Yes.
Ooh.
And by Secretary of State doesn't take notes, do they?
Sure don't.
They have someone.
They sure don't. I think Hillary Clinton was like above note taking.
We need the betches sup in here. I need to learn about politics. I need to learn about politics. Yeah, sorry. Danny's taking our notes.
Oh, yeah. So I'm taking their notes and I'm taking us to. Well, yeah.
So last episode, if you didn't listen, go listen, or else you're not going to understand what we're talking about. We went through like a brief biography of Lacey, how she met Scott.
Unless you're well versed in the Lacey Peterson case.
Yeah, the timeline of how she went missing, the affair with Amber Fry. Mm-hmm. And this episode, we're going to talk about the trial, the evidence, aftermath, or lack thereof. And then just, you know, talk about our theories. Who did it?
Yeah.
Who done it?
So we hope all of you guys are having fun holiday breaks.
Who done it?
If you're seeing also any super serial killer traits from your holidays, send them in.
Ooh. Love the holiday.
Yeah. Have you guys seen any super secret serial killer?
I've had...
Well, Casey, who orders Pinot Grigio shots.
That is true.
That's a super secret serial killer trait.
This was... gross, because more so from a visual standpoint, someone had eggnog and
but
then they had it on the rocks.
No,
yeah, you want warm eggnog?
No, I want it in the fridge and being at a perfect temperature to be poured.
No, well, here's the thing, if you put eggnog with whiskey, which you should, you should have it on the rocks, because then that's just a thick, warm, you need it's like you almost need it watered down a bit.
Otherwise, you
need to drink something else.
I know. Can we cancel eggnog?
No, like, you know what? We put a little eggnog in pancake batter the other day. Can I say?
Oh, I mean,
cute.
That sounds delicious, but you're not drinking it.
Like, I don't drink pancake batter.
I also put it in my coffee.
A lot of people are setting in Carolines that they're drinking too.
I know. Carolines. It's my favorite. You know what? Maybe I will break my streak and drink a Carolines tonight.
Oh, God, don't. Oh, yeah, wait. You're going to be so hungover.
So, guys, if you missed it, Casey's going to a holiday party tonight, and she said that she's not drinking, which is the biggest cause for laugh.
Which is like the biggest license.
This will be a week after that.
This will be a week after Christmas, right?
Yeah. You're going to be drinking.
I'll probably drink on Christmas. Yeah. Can we talk about a serial killer trait that I hope none of you guys do? If you go out to eat... just as somebody who has been there, if you go out to eat on Christmas or Christmas Eve and you do not be nice to your server, you deserve a place and a seat right on top of a pineapple in hell. Remember.
Why a pineapple?
I don't know. It seems like it's painful. Like, maybe I think I saw it in Little Nicky. Like, I saw they were shoving pineapples up Hitler's ass in that movie Little Nicky. Remember?
Wow. Throwback. I haven't thought about that movie in years.
Okay. Well, think about it now, sister. Watch it for New Year's.
And then watch Sister Act 1 and 2.
But just remember. Oh, I guess for New Year's. Oh, I guess this will already be after Christmas. Fuck. Okay. Yeah. I hope none of you were bad to your servers.
Also, just
be nice to your New Year's Eve servers too, because that's hell on a New Year's on a server.
Nice to your what?
New Year's Eve servers.
Yeah. Okay.
So, case
and
you
bartenders.
Broke curse of Friday. Yeah.
And bartenders.
That's also my thing. Just like during the holidays too, any person, no one wants to be working during then. So if you see someone working and it's another thing where you can tip, just tip, throw money. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yep.
Pay forward.
New Year's Eve is always a fuck show to
work. Well, also because it's amateur hour. That's also, honestly, I'm going to say super secret serial killer trait is going out on New Year's Eve. Call it in.
Doing like one of those.
Send in the clowns.
Call
you know where I'm going to be on New Year's Eve? I'm going to be Pinot Noir, sweatpants, so elastic, ordering and takeout, watching... going between CNN and then ABC, seeing if Lucy Hale got better at hosting.
I love it. I'll be
that
at Eastville Comedy Club in Brooklyn, actually. It's on Atlantic. I'll be doing two shows there if anybody feels like...
Make them expense your Uber home.
I know, right?
That shit's going to cost you like $150.
Oh, Casey, you should.
Well, there's be trains. There's be trains.
I know.
There's Willsby's trains.
Oh, but they're going to be filled with like... Yeah,
I know, but sometimes it's kind of fun to not to be like
that's
when you
true.
See the aftermath, like when you see like the aftermath.
And also get it, and also like I just got because like people like drive drunk, so don't take it. Everyone be safe too. I'm not a worried mom.
Yeah,
everyone be safe. Don't drive. Don't just be good. Just stay home. Knit.
Stay home and night. I think I'm probably just going to go to a house party, which is like the perfect intermediary.
Yeah.
That is good.
Like anyone who spends $150 to go to a club to fight at the bar to finally get a free drink, you know, it's not
that's
worth it.
Because you're like, vodka soda. And it's just literally like half of a shriveled up lime.
Also, after working so many, like the champagne toast will, there's too many people. We're never going to get to you on time. We're never going to get it to you at midnight. Sorry.
And also, you don't have to tell your group chat, but we know you don't like everybody in your group chat. You don't want to go with them, drink for 7 hours straight on like Murray Hill.
Yeah.
No.
Oh, good God.
Or whatever the Murray Hill is of your town or city. No.
No,
we don't want to do that.
We don't want to do that.
Whatever,
no, guys.
Whatever your Murray Hill is.
We've all
basically like where all your like vineyard vines preppy dudes hang out. That's your Murray Hill.
Yeah, guys named Seth who like, Seth. You know what I mean? Yeah.
Seth could be Jewish though.
He could. If Seth is Jewish, call me. Yeah. If Seth is from Connecticut, I'll see
him. It's like the Connecticut tested. Of your neighborhood.
Yeah.
Connecticut.
You hate to see it.
But we hope you had a great holiday. And as you can tell, we've pre-recorded this. But I'm just going to say that we went ahead and loved all your secret. We loved what you sent us.
Oh, well, they haven't sent it to us yet. Oh,
well, now, but when this is played, we will have seen it.
Well, we'll have to recap it after. Yeah. Oh, that's true. Yeah,
there we go.
You know, we figured that one out. Science is actually so hard. But you know what I mean?
Sarah's like, I have nothing to say to you two.
Also, but you know what's so good, guys? We're Stretch Armstronging right now. We're given the two episodes are going to be loosey-goosey, but you're going to have them. And you know when...
Yeah, that's true. Then you can't be upset that we're skipping
you know,
a week.
You know when you want... because at this point, too, you're burnt out from your... You're going to want... podcast in the ears. You're going to be burnt out.
Yeah.
You're not gonna do anything.
Yeah. And then a fun game to play with your family is, do you think Scott Peterson is innocent?
Yes.
That's better than talking politics. I think this is a good one.
That actually is a very new
something to play on. You should bring in the new partisan. Year's. Bring in the new year's by re-digging up the Scott and Lacey Peterson case with us. Would ya?
Come on. And be like, well, actually, that's a common misconception. Yeah. There was no evidence.
The game is called Well Actually, yeah.
Yeah.
The game is called
Well Actually.
Which, if you're somebody who likes the internet, you should like it. Well, actually, that's not even...
And you win by making everyone leave the room.
Yeah. That's actually my dream game.
Well Actually is a bunch of dorks.
Love it.
All right, so we're gonna give you some talking points for your Well Actually game by now unpacking the trial. And a lot of this information did come from CNN and also all the random documentaries we watched on this.
Yes,
that at this time are on the Facebook group, hopefully, and if not, please remind us to. So when the trial kicked off, Scott obviously pleaded not guilty. And then Judge Al Giolami of Stanislaus.
I was like, I don't know why I put that there. Like,
I actually,
let's
I hope
even
you know,
try.
When I read Stanislaus. It, I was like, I was set up.
Stanislaus.
It was a hit job.
So the County Superior Court moved his trial to San Mateo County.
Which some people were like, that's still not far
enough. They moved it from Modesto. They moved it to Redwood City. Ooh. Which is closer to San Francisco. Yeah, they moved to Redwood City.
I mean, I don't know what city they moved it to. I just put the county.
This is a very northwestern heavy. Okay. Yeah.
They moved it to Redwood City because they thought that he couldn't get a fair trial, which, you know, he wasn't going to get one anywhere. They moved it to Redwood City, which they would argue is even closer to
where all
the media and stuff like that. But
and also a city, too.
It was actually, it wasn't that much further from.
So the trial began June 1st, 2004. And then on June 18th, 2004, juror number 5 spoke to Brent Rocha at the courthouse security checkpoint. And obviously, like, the judge had to warn jurors to be careful that their actions aren't misconstrued, because the entire point of being a juror is to kind of, like, for the time that the trial's on, you're in your own little, like, incubator, not...
Well, and they had a hard time. They spent 9 weeks trying to find jurors.
Well, cause, I mean, and also because this case is so media-heavy.
Yeah, they spent 9 weeks trying to find jurors, and they ended up catching a bunch of these, like, stealth jurors.
Yep.
So there was, like, a bunch of people that were lying to try to get in just so that they could fry him.
We'll talk about it. There's, like, some after that.
I know. I mean, basically,
there's
like,
some, but it was, like, kind of hard to get it to trial.
Yeah. I feel like... Well, eventually, the jury just became this game of like Survivor, where they were just voting people off the island.
Or you're just getting like Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt, like just people that were in like, I was like secluded for 5 years. Like, come up. You
but,
don't
know. Well, the thing is that the jury wasn't sequestered. Like, because the trial was going to be so long, they let them go. So
they knew
so,
they couldn't. They didn't have the money to put everyone up in a hotel room for like months and months.
So it was impossible for these jurors not to see what was going on, especially because people were taking out billboards that were like, Scott's dead. Like, there was no.
Imagine having the money to do that.
Yeah. Well, also because it was such I forget the radio station, but the radio host that was on the ABC one was like, their entire show from that time, they had a billboard like, innocent or guilty, call in. And it was like the morning drive, like, show.
Yeah. Should we just rebrand our show? Call in if you think Scott Peterson is innocent or guilty.
Call in. Call the hotline.
Imagine, like, what if you did that every day?
I would love to have a hotline.
How is there enough material?
I don't know how we can make that work. Maybe a Google number, but I would love a hotline.
Yeah,
a
Google number.
Yeah. But so these jurors were wild. Like, they had a lot of different characters.
They were wild. Yeah.
So then this juror who ended up talking to Brent was dismissed. Like,
yeah.
And it was like interesting because they kind of painted him in the A&E documentary as like one of the few people who actually just went in there, like, presuming innocence, which is what you're supposed,
to do.
And spoiler, also, like, not just not immediately buying everything the prosecution was saying, like, actually investigating it, like, hey, do they, are they actually providing enough evidence? And he didn't last long.
So, and the brush with Brent was literally just, they were both going through security and he, like, and Brent was on camera and he looked over Brent and he's like, oh, I guess I'm in the shot. You probably won't be on the news tonight. And they dismissed him for that.
That's, well, that's what he says. He said, who knows what
it's
really
on camera.
Said. It is on camera.
Yeah, it's on camera. He literally says, you can see it's on the thing. He goes, you're not gonna be on the news tonight. And then they kind of laugh and they walk in because he was like, it was weird. We were having to go through the same. We were walking in with the family and doing all this stuff. And then this guy, this particular juror, went on to, like, talk to everybody about what he saw inside the courtroom.
Because also at this point, it's like, you're, this is your 15 minutes. Like,
this is
your viral.
This is like the only person.
This was his TikTok.
Yeah, this was his, this was his viral moment. But he was the only person at this point that was saying, I don't think he did it, guys.
Yeah.
Like, he was the person that was like, I was in there. I saw that there was no fucking evidence. Yeah. So that was like the first thing. So that's like a big twist and turn.
So then all the twists and turns lead up to the end result, which on November 12th, 2004, Scott was found guilty of first-degree murder for Lacey's death and then also second-degree for Connor's, who was the child they were, the unborn child they were going to have. And then on December 13th, 2004, the jury recommended Scott to be sentenced to death, and the judge agreed to that.
Yeah, they voted the death sentence.
Is harsh, I think.
Which is harsh, especially since, there wasn't
California,
a reasonable doubt.
And also because I know their reason was that it wasn't a crime of opportunity. It was like a cult, like, malicious, manipulative, planned case.
It was because of Connor's death they were able to charge him with special circumstances, and that's why that was eligible for the death penalty.
Also, people just wanted him to die.
Well, that. But that's the reason they could even give him the death penalty at all. As far as, like, the evidence that the prosecution had, I mean, we went through a lot of it. I mean, the main thing was that Lacey's body was found where Scott said he was fishing on the day he went missing. And their theory was basically that Scott killed Lacey in their home. Initially, they said the night before, but then they changed it to the morning of, that he put her, he wrapped her in a tarp, put her in his truck, attached cement anchors to her body, I think five total, and then loaded her into his boat, drove the boat out to the warehouse at 10 a.m., and then the marina arriving at around 12:54. Then he takes his boat out and pushed Lacey overboard. And the prosecution relied heavily on this witness testimony from Karen Servas, who was the neighbor who found Mackenzie at 10:18 in the morning. And her timestamps were corroborated by cell phone and timestamped receipts. And so, like, that's basically their major theory. It's important to note that there was no physical evidence ever, like, tying him to any of this.
Camera or anything
no.
like that.
Yeah. Like, no blood, no DNA, like, none of that. It was purely circumstantial.
Yeah. There was, I mean, he was guilty because I think there was no way that they could have let this guy.
And then
I mean, no one had evidence, like, on either side.
And also because it was a thing, there was no, like what Sarah just said, like, there was no major evidence from someone to not believe this. Do you know what I mean? Where it's kind of just like, all right, well,
The whole case was circumstantial. There was no physical evidence. Yeah. So, no, like, but that was all they had.
But on the guise of, like, this whole he didn't act right thing, if you watch the Truth and Lies, the one right after, they said that he would do weird things, like he was taking down pictures, he would follow as the cops were, like, which, you know, is something they left out of the A&E doc, but they put in the other one, that as cops were, like, searching the bay, he wasn't talking to the police, but he was following them to see where they were searching, which
sketch,
which is a bit sketchy.
Sketch AF.
But there is actually, this is where the no evidence comes in. There's, the defense had very good argument that a lot of this didn't make sense, that Scott couldn't have done it. They tried to prove a few things. Like there was, like they basically said that the, and even some of the jurors said that the prosecution's didn't really follow up with any of their leads, mm-hmm. that a lot of the arguments, like their opening statement was about that this show, when Scott was like, oh, we watched some cooking show, they said something about meringues. Remember that thing I told you to put in your pocket?
Yeah. Yep.
Their opening argument was like, this is a lie. That show, they didn't even watch the show. So the defense's opening argument is they literally played the segment from that date, and there's Martha Stewart talking about making meringues. Mm-hmm. So again, that's like they already poked holes, like they didn't follow through with anything. So that's how this trial starts. Mm-hmm. Okay. So there's that. This is the stuff that would say that maybe there is a fucking shot in hell that he was innocent. The defense agreed that Scott did drive to the warehouse at 10:08 a.m., but argued that Lacey was still alive at this time. There was also things that, like, the guy said that when he saw the guy go out in his boat, when he saw Scott, there's somebody that saw Scott go out in his boat and said that he could see right inside the boat and there was nothing in the boat with him. So if he dumped her body, like, the guy was like, it would have been impossible for me mm-hmm. not to see. And I don't think this guy was ever questioned. There's no blood or physical evidence at the Peterson home. They said, I think they were like, it vaguely smelled like bleach, but like, so does my house. Right. Do you know what I mean?
If you clean it.
Yeah. If you clean your house, it vaguely smells like fucking bleach. So there was no evidence at Scott's warehouse or on the boat. Scott actually had the alibi, which here's a fucked up thing. So essentially Scott was like, had the timestamps that he had gone fishing and done all this stuff. His whereabouts were so well publicized that somebody could have easily taken the alibi. Like, are they allowed say the alibi on the news so that if somebody was like, oh, I killed her, they would just dump the body there?
And the thing is, like, we don't know the time frame. Like, we mm-hmm. don't know when Lacey died and her body was dumped in the water. And we don't know when it was first publicized where Scott was fishing that day. So do you see what I'm saying? Like, it could very well
It was publicized pretty soon.
Yeah,
alibi out there like almost immediately. They're like, "Well, Scott was there, so let's check the bay," because that's how they started checking the bay.
Yeah, but we don't actually know when it was available to the public.
It was like alive. They put it on the news. Well, you go back and watch the Hulu one, they showed them when they were talking about it on the news. So I don't know what the date.
But I'm saying don't know when that was. Like, was it 3 days after? Was it?
Oh, I don't know the date.
What I'm saying.
But it happened somewhere between them finding the body in the bay and Scott. So, because wasn't it? What is it? A 3 month thing?
Exactly, it was a 3 month thing. So we don't. You don't actually know like how long her body was in the water, like when this news was out.
Yeah,
you don't actually know. Like, it's feasible, but then that would have to mean that like maybe. Like, she was being held for a while before being dumped. Like, you don't actually know.
Yeah,
and then, like, the body, I feel like, would have given off more. I mean, they didn't really do that much information to us, but I feel like the body could have looked differently if it wasn't just in the water the entire time.
That's true. Yeah. I mean, because there are arguments that that Connor was handled outside mm-hmm. of the body because there was, like, something wrapped around his neck. Mm-hmm. But I'm just saying, I just don't know legally. I mean, I just
that's
seems a like
a question.
Weird.
I
mean,
because
there's criticism this whole time that the cops kind of botched things and they like withheld information and did put certain information out,
right?
And like did all this weird shit. So I don't know. I mean, I'm just saying, like, I get why they would say
I get
they told
why they
everyone
say that,
that he was fishing so that they were looking in the bay so somebody could have easily been like, oh, well, if they think he did it, I can go dump this. You know what I mean? Like,
I get that argument. I'm just not sure, like, realistically how plausible that is.
I mean, and that's the thing is that there's so many. I mean, essentially, there's without any evidence, there's a lot of
exactly
stuff. You know,
exactly.
At least a dozen neighbors witnessed. At least a dozen neighborhood witnesses. Sorry, reported seeing a pregnant woman who looked like Lacey walking the dog after the prosecution claimed she was already dead. Police dismissed with the follow up because it just became the timeline thing. It became like, we don't really fucking know. So they didn't actually.
Yeah, they just had tunnel vision and they.
Yeah,
it seemed like they kind of had tunnel vision and then practiced a little confirmation bias. Like, they didn't really want to check up on leads that didn't already confirm who they thought did it.
Yeah. And then again, with this thing we mentioned before, the mailman walked by and signed an affidavit. And I think he was there between like 10:45, like between 10:35 and 10:50. Yeah. And he claims that he's like, we all know the dogs on our block. We know which dogs are barkers and which are not. And he claims that when he went by that day, Mackenzie didn't bark, which would put Lacey and the dog out of the house at that time.
The one thing I don't understand about that.
The dog also was all free.
I know. The dog
ran out 500 times.
Yeah, the dog was walking around. I'm just like, doesn't that mean that Lacey wasn't in the house unless you just like literally do not watch your dog at all? Like this dog is escaping at 10:18, coming back at 10:45. Like that that means, like, I don't understand what we're meant to believe about this dog.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And before we get into the burglary one, hold on. I got a couple other things on this, which I'm going to come to you guys. And this is all from the A&E one, because I was like, fuck, this guy might not have done it.
He was like riveted.
Yeah. Because it's one of those things that we're led to believe what we're given. And so unless you're there at the trial, like you're really doing your research, you're just like, he's guilty.
And also I feel like we all came to the agreement, the A&E one, like, because obviously all these documentaries and series lean certain ways. The A&E one leans very much to innocence. It
very much leads to Scott's innocence.
The ABC one, I feel like, leaned very much to him being guilty.
Very much leads to, they even have like some of the same people like almost like saying, you know, taking things out of context.
Yeah.
And each documentary leaves out a little something to like make it whatever. But so, okay. So here's some of the other things that poke holes and everything. So they claim Lacey is dead on the 24th, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Like the morning of the 24th. So there was a Google search done, and there's this whole thing that like Lacey loved like bugs and insects and animals and flowers and all this thing. There was a Google search done on their computer for umbrellas with sunflowers on them after the time that they claimed that Lacey was dead. And so
she loved sunflowers.
Right. But so, yeah, I think did she have a tattoo or something? She had something.
Yeah, she had like a sunflower tattoo, something like that.
But so the argument there that the prosecution was like, well, that was Scott. That was Scott trying to do this. But then the defense was like, well, he never wasn't like, oh, she was alive. Check my computer. Like he mentioned nothing about it. They found this search just purely by checking his computer, which seems like if somebody was trying to do a setup, like Scott's not that smart to be like, don't mention it. They're like, you know what I mean? Like that's not. So that was like a weird, interesting search.
Because that could also be like him looking at a gift for her because it's Christmas Eve and he doesn't strike me as a guy who got the gifts.
You're right.
Yeah. Oh, that's true.
You're right.
You know what I mean?
That's
just like he was flower umbrella and he sounds like a guy who would get his new wife with a baby on the way.
Yeah, that to me is like whatever.
That's true. Maybe he didn't know that she was, he didn't think she was missing at that point.
Or he did, and he was like,
but I think it was the Google search was made around the time that he wasn't there, wasn't it?
Maybe he wanted to get a gift for Amber.
Ooh.
Oh, and he was just like 2-for-1 on sunflower umbrellas.
Yeah.
There also was this evidence that the whole prosecution kept trying to claim that Lacey didn't know about this boat and didn't know about this warehouse and didn't know about anything.
Yeah, that was bogus.
That was bogus because there literally was something that said that she had come, somebody saw her come there and use the bathroom, and this whole, like this one cop, or maybe he was part of the prosecution or whatever, like left that out of a whole thing. So like essentially there was this whole fact that Lacey in fact did know about all this. This wasn't a secret. She knew everything that was going on.
Right.
But it was left out. Also, the main thing, this is where it got me a little bit, and I'll tell you guys, because I'm all in for, this is also why I like Making a Murderer, when they had Kathleen Zellner come out and chat, and it was like, Stephen Avery could not have done it, they said, if in the type of dinky-ass boat that Scott Peterson had, they
tested it. Yeah, it was like a 14-foot boat.
Yeah, and it was made small. Of fucking tin. They tested, it with a 100-pound fish. They're like, if he dumped her body off this boat, there was no way that it wouldn't capsize.
I thought that they actually got like a, I don't think, it was a fish?
I thought it was a fish. Or maybe it was just 100 pounds
of something. 150 pounds of something.
They might have done that, So 150 pounds, and they made him do it like 5 times, and every single time the boat capsized.
Yep.
Like the way that the weight of the boat was that he could not have thrown her off that in that type of boat. Well, and that was like a huge.
I wondered because I.
But they didn't. That was not admitted in the trial. Like the jurors weren't allowed to hear about that.
And also, I feel like it's a thing too. It's like that was 5 times, but out of the like 100 possibilities, and with like different ways weight falls in certain things, it's an interesting. I mean, it is convincing.
Whenever they do it in an example, like when you see it happen, you're like, yeah, I guess how this was just that one time that it didn't.
Mm-hmm. Like the 5, yeah.
You know when he threw her body off. I don't know.
It's interesting.
That part was interesting.
Yeah.
And then the whole, they found cement in this, they found cement in his thing. Mm-hmm. And this was a huge Nancy Grace point. because he was like, they're like, why'd you have cement? He's like, I don't know. I had a hole in my driveway and I was trying to fix it, but he didn't actually know. So he says, he's like, I just put this dry cement down. And Nancy Grace was like, you tell me that you just put cement down on the thing and you shook it. I don't think so, Scott Peterson. And then they actually went to his house and they saw that there was just dry cement, like that he really was just kind of like an idiot and threw it on there. And then somebody was like, well, and she was like, okay. And I guess didn't say anything.
Yeah, she was like, huh. And then never addressed it ever again.
Yeah. So there's holes on both sides. Mm-hmm. Yes, Scott was fucking creepy and did all this weird shit. But there's also like things where you're like, I don't know. Dan, do you want to talk about the burglary a little bit?
Yeah, for sure.
Because this is a whole other theory. So that's just some of the evidence that they were like, he couldn't have done it physically.
Then also, there was a burglary across the street the same morning that she went missing.
Yes, directly across the street.
The neighbor told the neighbor said that, right? Yeah, the neighbor told
somebody. Yeah, somebody drove by and saw, and then they said that the guys in jail like confessed
Stephen
to
Todd
it.
Stephen Todd was the burglar.
They took a safe.
The guy who was the burglar claimed that it was on the 26th, but then A&E says that couldn't have been possible because there would have been so much media camped out
they
by
would
the
have seen
26th
him.
That
yeah.
they would have seen it. So
it was like heavily, like, yeah, there were like press cars everywhere and stuff like that. So one eyewitness claimed that they saw Lacey confront the burglar.
Seriously, though?
Which I don't, like...
I don't believe that, really.
An eight-month pregnant,
you're going to go confront some burglars. Like, that's, A, peak white people shit, but also incredibly stupid.
Yeah.
That's the thing that I just got... I was like, I don't think she would do that to, like, her and her...
Anyone with half a brain, which we know she had because she went to Caltech, like, I don't think would do that.
Yeah. So then,
unless she's, like, strapped, you know?
Yeah.
So then, in a recorded call from prison with a friend of the burglar... he said that he confessed late and he witnessed him breaking in.
Flow big.
I also can't pronounce burglar, I guess.
It's a weird one.
That was your favorite.
Oh, yeah. Burglary. Oh, that's good. You pronounce it like that.
Burglary.
Pronounce it like you're wearing pearls, goddammit.
Burglary. I don't think I can fit in pearls then. So none of this was presented to the jury, though. Which is interesting.
No, this whole argument wasn't.
And according to Sarah sent this site over because we do our goddamn research.
Yep.
ScottPetersonAppeal.org. This is a quote from there. Another tip from a former sheriff described a pregnant woman being shoved back into a van less than half a mile from Scott and Lacey's house. He made repeated attempts to contact MPD and was never called back.
I don't believe that either.
Here's also, they said that there was...
That's too convenient.
There was also something, of course, in the Pro Scott documentary. And this is when I will poke holes in because I think this is like immediate like withholding stuff. But they were like, they talked to somebody and one of the... Apparently before they... You know, they claimed that when they talked to somebody involved in the burglary, like when they were just trying to ask them about the burglary, he's like, I had nothing to do with the pregnant lady. Like, they just said that out of nowhere. But that could easily be taken way out of context when that could have, like, he could have already known about the media hoopla. But that was something that they used, that he just said that and then the cops ignored it or something like that. But I was like, that could have been taken out. But apparently there are people involved with this burglary that also claim to have seen Lacey and Pete, like they're trying to make this a thing, which I don't know.
Yeah, and then on top of that too, there's a juror misconduct thing where
this was just basically in Scott's appeal, which I did read, by the way. You can find it online. You can find the whole appeal.
ScottPetersonsAppeal.org.
Yeah, but then you can find the link to the actual documents of the appeal that his lawyers filed.
Sarah will put that in her bio.
Yeah, link in bio. I'm going to forget.
It'll be on our dating profile.
Because a lot of you guys have
been asking.
Everyone's
going to be like, what are you talking? Everyone's going to be like, what the fuck is this?
You should just make his appeal, put it on your Tinder.
Oh, God.
What are you into? Well, it's freeing Scott Peterson.
You can't use Tinder for dates anymore.
Not even.
Just kidding.
What?
Tinder, you can't use it for dates anymore. Apparently, it's just a hookup app. I haven't used it in a while. But
what do you mean, apparently? It always was.
I thought, but didn't you used to like meet up for like a Java or a cup of wine?
Java? You spent too much time at that coffee shop with those 40-year-olds.
They weren't 40. It's actually really depressing.
I thought you said they were 40. No?
No, they were. There was a 40-year-old couple there.
Oh.
I think they were on like their 50, but the couple that was there for the first time, they were like 26, 27.
Yikes.
And they were both drinking green tea. And they're like, oh, a lot of tea in one day. And I was like, this is sad.
That's sad.
No offense, tea drinkers.
No offense, but like...
Yeah, but you're talking about something as sensitive as tea.
Teh.
Yeah, like I don't understand those people who are like, oh, I'm just wired from this tea. I'm like, grow up.
Yeah, oolong don't got me feeling that way. Yeah.
You're fine.
Yeah, grow up. But so about the appeal, basically, his team is also claiming that there was like a juror misconduct issue. Like the alternate juror who became a juror in the fucking fourth quarter, that lady Rochelle Nice, Strawberry shortcake. She was wild. They claim that she gave false testimony regarding if she'd been in a lawsuit and like what her role in that was. And then the state argues though that she didn't lie; she just misunderstood the questions. But that bitch was.
She also called him an asshole. She was like, "Fry, bitch, you're an asshole."
I don't think she said that,
but she just like
she called him an asshole.
She did call him an asshole, but she didn't say fry, bitch.
She did, but essentially she did say something like, "You're gonna be dick." Like well, she said. They had pretty harsh
words. And I know it wasn't impartial, it was a very the case could be interpreted as very close to home for her in a sense that she could relate to a lot of it.
But so she should have never been
not in a billion years.
She should have never been a juror.
That reminded me of like the 30 Rock. Do you remember when Tina Fey dressed up as like a... but she dressed up as like a Star Wars character to try to get out of jury.
Yeah.
I don't think I should be a juror because I can read minds. And they're like, this is New York, set the fuck down. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then Carrie with the pineapple in the suitcase on jury duty, Sex and the City.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
There was also a whole thing with the... With the different fruit. Yeah. There was also a different thing that happened that apparently this bartender said that these jurors were coming in being like, we're gonna get them, we're gonna believe it.
That one guy in the documentary was like hella suspect. He was like threatening everybody who didn't want to basically kill, like put Scott Peterson to death and convict him.
Kept getting rid of the jurors and then fight
him. they kept getting rid of the people who were not like who did not think he was guilty. So that was like hella suspect.
But they had to like reopen something again after this woman was like, okay, these jurors are talking. They're not supposed to be talking about it.
Just because it's over doesn't mean it's really over.
It was real sus.
Real sus.
So after the conviction on December 9, 2003, Lacey's mom sued Scott for $5 million for the deaths of Lacey and Connor. She also filed a wrongful death suit and a survival action. I don't know what that is. I'm not going to lie to you guys. Basically for Lacey's estate. Eventually, there was a $25 million wrongful death suit that was filed, but it was dropped in April of 2009. Then, in October 2005, the judge ruled that the $250,000 life insurance policy Scott had taken out on Lacey would go to her mother. It's always the life insurance, guys.
Oh, yeah.
So
always the life insurance.
Always life insurance. Then, in November 2015, Scott petitioned the Supreme Court of the state of California. Again, the juror misconduct claim. They also claim that the prosecution presented false evidence, and they also try to claim ineffective assistance of counsel. And then here's the one really big update that just happened, pretty much. March 13th. I thought it was May. I have to look that up. I think it was, I don't know, whatever.
Sometime in the spring.
Early 2000. Yeah,
2019. The governor of California, Gavin Newsom at the time.
Gavin DeGraw.
He signed an executive order issuing a moratorium on executions of all 737 death row inmates in California prisons, which basically like suspends or lifts, what's it called? The death penalty.
Yeah.
Including for Scott Peterson. So right now he is no longer on death row, but basically people think that whenever the new California governor comes in, they're going to reinstate the death penalty and he's going to be back on death.
Because I feel like whenever a new like governor starts
when a new sheriff comes in town, they just got a reinstate order.
It's like they fire the people that they want. When a new boss gets hired, they fire the people they don't
want. They bring their new people in. They institute a bunch of arbitrary rules. They bring back the death penalty and
shit gets real.
It gets real.
There's a lot of people still trying to fight. There's like these random people that really took a liking to the trial and really do believe he's innocent and are coming out.
You mean like you?
Listen, all I'm saying,
where is the lie?
Here's the thing. I don't know if I think that he's innocent. I don't know if I think that he's guilty. I actually don't like when you look at evidence like that, you're like, God, this is you feel as like as a consumer that is just taking this in via People Magazine and via the news.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You don't get both sides of it. You get what they want you to have, which we talked about with even the Kathleen Fulbig. We said like, when they tell you this woman killed her kids, there's no ifs, ands, or, but they're not giving you the other option.
And also
they're just saying that this is what it is. And this is what we're going to give to you.
And it's a thing too, where like you hear a story like that, your first reaction is like, well, you're like, oh my God, that's awful.
Right. You're not like, well, let's hear his
when
side.
It's like when you're like, oh, he murdered his pregnant wife on Christmas Eve. You're not like, well, cement. You're like, what a monster.
I mean, essentially this guy got convicted of murder because he didn't act right and because he had an affair. But based on no evidence at all.
Right.
Which is we're putting somebody to death. Because the whole point of having a jury is there has to be beyond a reasonable doubt, which I don't think. If I was on the jury, I would have been like, I don't think. Because especially with all the holes. But I also can't say that I don't know if he is innocent. That's, but it just seems
right. like. I don't think he got a fair trial.
He didn't get a fair trial and he was never going to get a fair trial.
Unfortunately, however, he wouldn't have. I don't know if I think he's innocent, though.
Yeah, I'm comfortable with him serving life in prison. I don't think he needs the death penalty. Because I feel like that could have been a severely extreme thing. But I feel like with the evidence, with what was given, and also, it's also one of those things, even like he spends his life in prison, or even if he's not, if he's out, he would be living,
his
life is over?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, no, it's the same with like, even though Casey Anthony was not guilty, it's like, she can't live here.
Okay, she was guilty.
She can't be like you can't go to Chili's and be like table for Anthony, Casey. You know what I mean? Like you're stuck inside. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. He will never be able to be a regular person, but he was a scumbag. Like, I mean, he cheated on his pregnant wife, which according to his dad, 90% of men do.
Wow.
I remember it was Diane Sawyer goes, really?
It was Barbara Watts.
This is 2020. Oh yeah. Is she going to do that? Do the ball drop?
I know. I wish.
But yeah, she goes when he's like 90% and she's like, really? When they're pregnant? And then both the parents were like, that's mainly when they cheat.
Oh, that's when the mom was like,
are you
that's
serious?
When they do it
yeah.
most. Yeah.
Which I get, I'm sure.
The mom said that?
The mom was like, we've learned that's mainly when guys cheat.
Mm-hmm. Is when and the way her eyes looked, I'm like, did he just cheat on you
so
when you
I
were
got,
pregnant?
She was dead in the eyes.
I got this book. What did it say? It was like, I think the title is just, Why Do We Need Men? And I'm like, yeah.
Oh, I saw that by E.J. Carroll?
Yeah.
She's awesome.
Yeah, so literally my biography, I'm mad that she wrote that. But no, that's what comes to mind when you talk about people cheating on their pregnant wives when they're pregnant. But no, that's what comes to mind when you talk about people cheating on their pregnant wives when they're pregnant.
No.
Okay, but legal stuff aside, like, scummy. Do you think that he did it? I'm not talking about whether you would convict him. Do you think he did it?
I kind of lean towards yes. Why? Yes. I feel like it is voicemail he gave, or like the conversation he had. I feel like he was sort of one of those cases like they have this perfect life, but then he's sort of like, wait, I don't want a kid. I don't want this. I don't want that. And then it was sort of, I feel like it's a regrettable thing, but in his action, he's like, oh, this is my plan of action. This is how I can make this happen in reverse. He's like, how do I get out of being?
Because that was the argument that they said that he didn't want to be married and didn't want to have kids anymore.
Right. See, here's my thing is like, even if the state's timeline is wrong, that would have still given him up until 5 p.m. to commit this murder or hire a hitman.
He wasn't home.
Huh?
He wasn't home.
No, he was home and then he got home in like the afternoon, right?
Yeah, but during the time that she was.
But that's the thing. There's never been a time of death that's been established.
Yeah.
So like.
They say he killed her. And then when he went out and had her on the boat.
But there's no real evidence to prove that like he except for killed her at that point.
But except for his timestamps of what time that he was getting at the
marina. But I'm like, so maybe he didn't kill her then, but maybe he killed her at some other point.
And also, that's a whole different thing. That when he was like, I was between golf and fishing. Like, that's a weird thing. You know what I mean? I'm just like, that felt like a lie to me, too.
What do you mean?
Because he was like, that day? It was too cold to golf, so I went fishing. I'm like, wouldn't it still have been?
Wouldn't it be colder on the water? I don't know.
I just thought that was a very interesting, and that kind of was like, okay, this is the story we're getting. Like, that's why I was like, oh, this wasn't a long thought out plan of murder. It was sort of in the moment, like, I want to kill, I'm going to kill her.
I don't know.
Casey, we know where you're
at. Well, the thing is that, like,
wearing a free Scott shirt right now, just so you guys know.
Yeah. That's my new tattoo.
I just think, like, maybe the timeline is wrong, but I think he still could have done it.
You think he was involved with it?
Or he could have, like, honestly just hired someone, and that's why, like, I have no idea.
Did you guys not think at all possibly this botched burglary could have been part of this?
I think it's
possible. They make a strong argument that these people were just kind of like
that
there
one
and got
caught. That just kind of seems like it's like that it's that classic SVU thing where like, oh, but there's this other thing that makes kind of sense, but it's not.
Because remember also, Modesto is not a good, it's a crime town.
Oh, that's what they blame
Modesto,
this on.
That was like their big theory at the A&E documentary was like, oh, well, meth heads. And I was like, okay, can you like give me something a little bit stronger? No.
Oh, I know.
I was like, are you serious? But I watched 8 hours and 67 commercials for Humira, and this is what you're telling me?
But it was like they do paint it out to be like nothing bad happens here. And like there's tons of shit that happens in Modesto.
I mean, yeah, there's tons of shit that
happens
everywhere.
Even when they show the cameras over it, you just look and it's just like junkyards and dirt piles and the town runs. Scott was killing it in the fertilizer business, guys. This is what Modesto is.
Well, then also but then he joins a $25,000 golf club, and I feel like that's where you can meet some people that are probably in like some shady shit.
I don't think the golf club is in Modesto.
But still, that's a place where there's some shady shit.
And places rich where people you can, where do illegal stuff and get away with it.
Where you can have ties with people that don't know him in the town where he's the crowd favorite. Just in this place being like, oh, my fucking wife. You know what I mean?
Wait. But let's talk about this. I know I said it briefly, but this whole theory, what do you guys think about this theory that Connor was actually handled outside of the body? Because there was they've had lots of different doctors come in, some that were credible, some that kind of shot themselves in the foot as not being that credible.
Oh, yeah, that one guy on trial, he was like, give me a break. And we're like, no, sir, this was your job.
He said basically he was like, she was alive until the 29th. And so was that kid. And essentially then they were asking him questions because he seemed credible. He seemed like he knew what he was talking about. And then when they started cross-examining him, he was like, give me a break.
Yeah.
Give me a break.
And then they were like, okay, nothing you say is real.
They were like, dude, no. Yeah.
But they did say was when they found Connor, it was like as though there were some that said that it seemed like he almost lived a little bit longer than her. That like plus because he had tape around him, or he had something around his body and something around his neck. Like they show like a brief kind of like sketch. And it could have just been water debris, but it looked as though he had been kind of tampered with. What do you guys think about that?
I don't know.
It just makes me very depressed. But
if anything, wouldn't random burglar be less likely to like
they might have held her until she gave birth and then dumped them both.
Well, that'd be a long time to held her until she gives birth.
She was almost about.
That's a few weeks.
But if there's 3 months and they didn't find her for 3 months, we don't know.
Well,
just
she was
like
eight
we
months,
don't.
So just 1 month.
From her missing to her being found is 3 months.
This is the problem. I'm like, science, come on. You really like drop the ball on this. Like, if you could just pinpoint when she died, how long they were in the water, like any of this shit, like we would just know.
I don't think a burglar would wait like for something like this when it's not like you're robbing a bank, you're robbing a house, like. They're not gonna be like.
Now we hold this family.
You don't know. Maybe they just thought it was like this rich girl, and they were gonna get a ransom. And then when all the media coverage happened, and then they saw the alibi, and were like, "Fuck, we gotta get rid of her." And they were like, "Oh, Anna, panic in a stress. She had the baby."
But you don't know.
And then they just killed them both.
At the country club, rich guy next to him. They're having scotch. He's complaining about how his wife is boring and he doesn't have the same joie de vivre anymore because she's pregnant. 8 months pregnant.
He busted out the French. They were like,
"Doesn't
want to
touch the kid's belly." I have this new hot. Side chick, what do I do? And he's like, I have a man for you that can help you out.
I don't know. I could see it either way.
That seems less likely to me.
Than a burglar being like,
a stress pregnancy and a burglar keeping her and then killing them.
I can't imagine a burglar being like, all right, here's some ice chips. You know what I mean?
Ice chips.
I think that there's a world when they could have got her and it became too much for them to handle because they thought that maybe they were just taking somebody who saw them do this bad thing, and you know they're already bad guys because they're stealing something. They watched for her neighbor to be gone because these guys went to go rob the neighbor's house the day that they left for Christmas. So they left and these guys pulled up like very soon to go take their safe. So they were clocking.
Also, why were they robbing a house in the middle of the afternoon?
They were taking a safe. They had like
these guys were fucking amateurs.
But they also knew what was going on and they lived right across the street. Like who knows? Maybe they were also planning on robbing Lacey and Scott. Like we don't know that backstory, but I don't think that it's not plausible because these guys obviously had been clocking
the
neighborhood.
I mean, they're both pretty crazy and equally plausible in that they're both kind of implausible.
Because there's no.
I mean, again, why would you commit a burglary in broad daylight? That doesn't make a lot of sense.
Why would you commit a murder in broad daylight?
Why? I don't know exactly. Like why?
Was
pretty
it,
stupid.
Why would you dump your wife in broad daylight in the middle of the fucking?
I mean,
ocean?
Especially
why would you dye your hair blonde and drive off to California Mexico with a light with your brother's?
Especially
mate.
If you're gonna carry out a safe, that is not exactly inconspicuous.
That's also
like,
that was like the stupidest thing to do when he's like he knows he's wanted. So yeah, let me drive 95 miles per hour with dyed hair and a new ID to golf.
I don't know.
I mean, yeah, that was just all of it so suspect. But then
if
that
sketchy.
Is actually
no,
true,
Scott's a scumbag,
and
but
your
I just
wife,
don't know.
Yeah, but then if your wife was genuinely missing and you really were having this phone call with your side chick, like what the actual
no,
fuck is wrong with
you?
All
of that part. No, yeah. that part is psychotic. But
that and then
also lying about
the one other thing.
Oh yeah, my wife died a year. Like this is my first Christmas without her.
Well, that's what you say to somebody when you're cheating on them.
No, you don't. You just say that you're divorced or separated.
You just say that you're single.
Not Scott.
You say that you're single.
Yeah, you say that you're single. You say that
ring
you're
in pocket.
You're
Scott,
separated.
He clearly wanted some kind of sympathy.
Well, then
which I think pray like it. That's what I'm saying. Like you can't. I mean, I think people. I think you know, people prey on like people use sympathy as a way to get people in bed. I mean, I don't think that this is something that's a shock. Like men tell you this is a false sense of closeness. Mm-hmm. Let me tell you what happened to me so that I know that you'll do anything for it. This is what guys do. They'll be like, well, my mom's having a lot of problems right now. So you're like, oh my God, he trusted me with this secret. It's bullshit. He's just using that to get what he wants from fucking you.
That's to a more believable degree than
yeah. God damn wife. It. And my wife
and
died.
Also my favorite, my wife died. And then the girl was like, are you sure you're ready to date? He's like, yeah. That can date.
Yeah,
no,
I don't know.
He's a psychopath. I'm just saying, it's so hard to say with no evidence anywhere.
If he's saying
nowhere,
like I just what I don't get is like if he's been innocent this whole time, like why doesn't he have better excuses for this type of stuff? Mm-hmm. Like why doesn't he have better explanations for this? He went on fucking Good Morning America, like dude, what? Like
oh,
what
and then
do you
also
have
when he was
yourself?
Like, oh, if we're talking specifics, I can't get into that.
Yeah.
Isn't that the platform that he would want to talk all of his specifics and air everything out?
Not if
like
he
I just
under,
feel like if
like
you really think you're innocent to the point that you're going on TV to give interviews, like why can't you just explain any of this, the crazy, crazy stuff? Not like the alibi. Like, fine, that's fine. You
but
have
which stuff?
For that.
Which stuff is he needing to explain?
Explain like what is your mindset that you are calling your side chick during
oh,
your
that
wife's
part.
Vigil?
Yeah.
Explain this stuff about like. Essentially predicting your own wife's disappearance and then eventual murder or death. Like, explain
yeah,
that shit. Come on.
That's true.
That's what I'm saying. I'm
didn't
like,
explain that.
If you've really been railing that you've been innocent this whole time, like, what answers do you have? You have none.
That's true.
Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Well,
I don't know either.
I want to call, like, Teresa Caputo and, like, get, there's some, just, we need to get
yeah,
some answers.
Or the Hollywood
like,
media.
Let's get a Ouija board.
Why can't they get some, like, the,
or why can't science
really
test
are.
Something of these bodies? You know what I mean?
So you guys, so Sarah, is your theory that maybe he had somebody do it?
Maybe.
Do you think he did it? Do you think he did it with his own hands?
I mean, it's possible. I don't know.
But how do you think he did it then?
How do I think he, I mean, I have no idea.
There's
thing.
A dismembered body. Where the fuck did he dismember this
the
with
weight,
no blood anywhere?
There's weights on the hands. And like the weights tied down to all the limbs. Those
but then a lot of people
the
were
but
like,
then there's
that's
weights
not really
and
how
her
that
body.
Works.
His little tiny tin can boat would have fucking sunk with cement weights, two people.
Yeah.
Are you kidding me?
I don't know. Like part of me is just like to dismember a body feels like very personal.
Well, that's what I feel like it wasn't the dismemberment kind of came from the time in the water being weighed down by something. And then
that's what they say. But then a lot of experts were like, yeah, it doesn't really work that way. Mm.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It doesn't. I'm an expert.
Yeah, Casey.
Yeah, Casey's like
Casey
all burglars are also midwives who birth this child.
Yeah.
Have you ever heard of Fraggles? Maybe they are responsible for this.
It was actually Captain Planet.
It was Captain Underpants.
I don't know.
None of these people committed a murder. I don't
I
want any
like
Fraggle heads coming
I
at
I feel
me.
Like he just acted too sketchily to have like zero knowledge. He just
that's what
so,
he,
so sketchy.
And if he was innocent, he shot himself in the foot.
Man. Like there's like Amanda the Knox thing. Sketchy, and then there's like this guy sketchy.
When you have a high profile case, though, it is always going to turn against you. Like we even talked about with the Madeleine McCann thing. It was it went from parents looking
yeah,
for
but
their
Casey,
children.
You know
but
that I'm not talking about that. Like you know that I'm giving him the benefit of the doubt to an extent, and
no,
like you know at which point I've stopped giving him the benefit of the doubt, and you know that those are reasonable points.
No, I know.
So you
that.
Can't like use that argument on me right now.
I'm just saying that I think that once the thing turns, like it's never going to go back. Once it turns to, oh, I think this person's guilty. It's never ever going to go back.
I don't, the,
like,
yeah, but the media didn't make him make this phone call. Like, I don't understand
yeah, and
the
media
argument
didn't
that
have
you're
him
trying
go on
to
Diane
make.
Sawyer to start talking and then being like, oh, I can't talk about that. I just want to talk about
the
how I'm
good.
Like, we're not
make,
misinterpreting the way that
no,
he's acting to fit a lens because some of these things, like, you really... Like, if there is an innocent explanation for it, we've yet to hear it.
Yeah.
This is true. No, I'll give you that. I just Thank also you. Think that when you have a whole high-profile case, you're never going to get nothing. It's never going to be true. Like, there's nothing, like, you're not going to be able to, everything you do is going to be looked at under this. I'm not saying that what he didn't do, that part wasn't a fucking act of a psychopath, but you're never going to get. Nothing you do is going to be right in the eyes of everything when they already have made you this
person. I understand that, but we're like, but these.
I'm saying, no, I said yes. I said I know that those things make him crazy,
There's
but I also
he could
think
do to
there
make
was,
it better, but he did a lot of things to make it worse,
yes,
too.
Yes, but there was no way he was ever not going to be convicted. Mm-hmm. He could have not made that call. He could have not done any. I mean, like, there was no way. The minute it came out that he had an affair, he was going to the chair.
I mean.
You know what I'm saying? I'm just saying, like, I just don't know if I believe that that's the right thing when there would we really don't know.
So what do you
we know he's a bad guy. We know he's a psychopath. But we also like it was like, even those jurors were like, well, we couldn't not convict him, like, because then we couldn't be the people then, like, that didn't convict him, like, because what would everybody think? Like, there was never a true thought in this whole case.
Yeah, I mean, he never got a chance at a fair trial.
No, and that's what I'm saying. Like, nobody, I don't think anybody even got to look at it with a actual, like, eye, because we were just told that he did it.
He had chances at, like, fair ways to present himself, though, but he didn't really take the opportunity to do that correctly either, though.
Yeah, I mean, no, he's a fucking idiot.
Yeah.
Ugh.
He's an idiot, but I also think that
Casey's gonna go send him a holiday.
I guess the point that I'm trying to make is,
I'm never gonna talk,
like,
to him.
We don't have evidence one way or the other, so whatever you think, you're doing it based on, like, your impressions and your emotions, because there is no evidence. So like,
and also, which documentary you like better?
That's just what I'm trying to say. I'm not like,
which documentary you watch.
If you liked Hulu more, your team Scott. But if you like the ABC one,
it's just compelling. It's just so interesting to think one way and then to see something to go, wait a second. But I think that's the thing, is that, like, you know, they never gave us that other way when it was happening.
Right. That's why I was just asking what you guys think, because there's no way to, like, actually know.
I know.
Wow.
We don't know.
Yeah, we don't know, and we never will.
We know he was a bad guy, but we don't know he was a murderer.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what? We don't know that these burglars were murderers either.
Yeah.
We don't know if
they were just regular bad guy robbers, maybe.
This is true. We don't know any.
We don't know shit.
Truly, this is a case that we know a lot about, but actually nothing about.
And that ends the decade.
I know. Oh, my God.
Happy 2020, everyone.
I knew nothing. Yeah.
Yeah.
Happy 2020. We know nothing about Lacey and Scott. But literally, what a wild case.
We tried. We really tried. I actually think that if there's one case that I could get answers to, it would maybe be this one. Everyone always says JonBenet Ramsey. I'm like, no. We fucking solved this.
Yeah.
Like, come on. You get one genie wish. Don't waste it on JonBenet Ramsey.
I know.
You get one genie wish.
Yeah.
Ooh. You're very you're convinced it was the brother, right?
It was someone in the family. Like, there's no evidence to say that there was an intruder. Like, it's just insane.
Oh, I thought you meant, I was like, wait, her brother?
Yeah, it was Lacey's brother.
JonBenet. No,
yeah.
JonBenet Ramsey's
Here's a
brother.
Wrench. Lacey's brother?
I'm like, I missed that page on this.
It's a secret page. It's only in our minds. Ooh. Me and Sarah sent it to each other via blinks.
Yeah. I know you don't get her emails, so I know you didn't.
I didn't get your email. Sarah's email's against me.
Wait, so what would be your guys' one case that you would solve if you had a genie wish?
I kind of would want the rest of the footage of Elise Lam.
Ooh.
I mean,
that's interesting. Also, people were arguing about the water tanks in the Facebook group, and they're like, yeah, I thought these were huge, but these, and I was like, if you look at them, like, they're big enough for a person to fit in. Yeah. Did you guys see that comment on the group?
I think so. I was like, we got sent a decent amount of Elise's stuff, because apparently there was like a new video or there's something. Mm. Elise's is a little creepy weird to me.
That's
so it kind of almost like haunts me in a way that like I don't really care to think about it.
Yeah, that video is creepy.
But the Maura Murray one sticks with me because it's so frustrating not to know.
And it was our first case.
And it was our first case as a trio. But that one,
or was that in a don't no.
No, that was our first one that we did all together.
Maura Murray.
Our first case, guys.
But that one, it just because it's so weird.
That is a weird.
But the Lisa Lam one makes me like feel weird.
I'd be creepy. Yeah. I'd be haunted once I found out the answer.
Yeah, the Lisa Lam one is haunting.
Yeah, like
the Maura
you'd rather
Murray
not
one
know.
Is the Maura Murray one is frustrating.
Yeah.
I have a friend that I was just talking. He's like, he's like, I didn't know you. He's like, I'm so obsessed with true crime. Da da da. And we were talking about it. He's like, but I can't listen to a case unless I know it's solved.
It drives you nuts.
But I was like, but then I thought about Maura Murray and I thought about Brian Schaefer and I was like, because those ones bug the fuck out of me.
Yeah, because you never know.
And then you go into it like, I'm going to solve it. Like, why would I solve it? But you think that and then you're like, no.
I can't solve it.
And then the more information I find out about anything, the less sure I am of my own opinion.
That's what I'm saying. It is hard. It is hard to think that you know and then go in and be like, I don't know shit.
Yep.
But what would you say yours would be?
This one, maybe.
Yeah. Oh, this one. Okay, you said Lacey. Cool. That's right. That's right.
Yeah, just because I truly just don't know either way. Like, I don't know. If Scott did it, then he did it. If he didn't do it, then he's like the dumbest.
Just a dumb guy.
Like, meanest. Yeah. Like, assholeist. Yeah. Guy with bad luck.
Yeah.
And I know that.
No, he's an asshole.
We've now asked everyone listening to send in 500 things. But if you guys want to send in 501, what would your case be? Because that is an interesting question.
Oh, yeah.
Let's like if you could find the answer to one.
Yeah, that's a question on our thing to get in. It's like which one keeps you up at night, which is kind of the same.
Kind of the same
and
thing.
We do get a lot of JonBenet. We do get a lot of Maura Murray.
Yeah,
We get a lot of more. We get a lot of JonBenet. We do get a decent amount of Lisa Lamb too.
Yep.
All right. So boom. All right.
All right. Well, so we'll this is taking us into the new year.
Yeah. Next year, we're probably going to cover Casey Anthony. I don't want to make any promises, but we'll probably do it.
Yeah.
What else do you guys want to cover next year?
Well, I know
Charles Manson or like a cult, another cult.
I want some more cult.
Somebody reached out too. We have a fan in Wales and they reached out and said something and said that they were big fans. And so they gave me the name of a Welsh crime. About somebody that got murdered and these people confessed, but they didn't actually do it.
Oh.
And it's like still, there's still something, something.
There's also a satanic crime in New Jersey that's big and weird, New Jersey.
Wait, what?
Where it's like.
I don't like Satan stuff.
It's like it's like in the woods of like Watchung Hills.
I don't like it.
And it's like this whole creepy thing that I feel like we should cover.
We should do like another creepy one like The Watcher. Yeah. That was a good one.
Oh, yeah. There's actually another murder case in Westfield. That place is weird.
Really?
Should we do a haunting?
What's up at Westfield? They're like, oh, it's so nice and we're all rich as fuck. Mm-hmm. And it's like, I remember the murder because we talked about it because the guy like kept people in his basement or something. And
he
then
was like, he was missing for 2 decades and they found him.
Yes. Okay. Oy. I do recall this now.
Yeah.
Or we could do some of like
trash Westfield.
We
can do,
I'm so down to trash Westfield. mother, with your Starbucks thinking you're all that.
We should do some of the, we should maybe delve into one of the, like a kidnapping, that guy Ariel that kept the girls in his basement Elizabeth Smart or.
And that, the foster kid story still keeps me.
Oh,
and
the one that was also in California where they were like chained like their 10 kids to the bed.
And then the one where they drove off like,
Oh, there was the lesbian couple that were like, that drove off the cliff. Yep.
Also.
There's Susan Smith.
We haven't done a good serial killer in a while.
We haven't.
We did Samuel Little, but then I don't know.
I feel like
we haven't done like
one that's like a more infamous. Yeah, so we'll work on that.
We do Richard Ramirez
and documentaries. Did you guys watch The Confessions Killer?
No, I didn't.
That one is wild. This is about this guy who like confessed to like 300 murders.
Oof. Oh my god!
Who has the time?
Watch it though. I don't want to give away the twist.
Okay, I'll watch it.
Yeah.
Right, I have to take my breaks though, in between.
Yeah, like, well, you went down a JonBenet rabbit hole that started with Lacey Peterson.
Oh, well, yeah. Well,
like 5 hours later,
I watched 5.5 hours, and I had to cleanse my palate with Temptation Island. I'm like, oh, yeah, I watched too much because I was just home. And then last night in my hotel, I stumbled onto some JonBenet.
JonBenet all day. Well, we didn't tell you to do that.
I just happened to come in right on the part where they were talking about what a big bedwetter she was and how mad that made her mom.
Yeah.
Interesting.
And I was like, not a reason to kill your daughter. Kids be peeing. Adults be peeing.
People be peeing. All right.
Wow. And with that, we leave you.
We leave you all. All right. So I hope you have a great New Year's.
Happy New Year's.
Hopefully
be
see you.
Be safe.
January 24th.
Yeah.
Union Hall. Tickets available. Let's sell it out. I'm into that.
Let's do it.
All right. And So I feel like this could be a sign off.
People be peeing.
No, I am Baba Walters, and this is 2020.
Betches.